We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Finally tonight, a few words about numbers. As they pertain to baseball, they have always been sacrosanct. DiMaggio's 56, Ruth's 60, McLean's 31. How ironic then that the same obsession with numbers that once made the game a national pastime is now complicating its problems. Much of the blame can be traced to the modern preoccupation with the silly numbers produced by the analytics folks who value metrics that do little more than cloud a player's image. It's a troubling mentality that somehow rewards a pitcher for winning only 10 games, but diminishes a hitter who bats 300. Here are some other troubling numbers: 9, 301, and 55. Respectively, they're the percentage that attendance is down this year, the average length of each game, and the average age of today's baseball fan. And if you think those three things are interrelated, well, you're onto why the players in the game have been bypassed in popular culture. In response to the declining interest, baseball's supposed caretakers are floating all kinds of new age ideas, everything from automated strike zones and pitch clocks to changing the very basics of what made it popular in the first place. And for this lifelong baseball fan, that's sad to see. Of course, those in charge could justifiably claim that I'm just an old get-off-my-lawn guy who can't embrace their new brand of baseball, to which I'd plead guilty and simply ask, how's that new brand working out for you? And that's our show for this evening.
They're ruining the game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and all the wonderful ways you get a hold of us.
Thank you for listening, too.
Boy,
most of all.
Listening, most of all. Thanks to Dustin for being Dustin.
Congratulations and your amazing life.
Your life's been amazing. And Kevbo, you know how
Magnifico!
You are Magnifico. And Ray. Look at Ray, huh?
Welcome back, Ray.
Married man. He's
skipping
back there.
Skipping a step, he's smiling his face.
Look, I love Armahado so
yes,
much.
He does. And now we welcome in Dan and Connor. Wonderful.
Connor
so
over there with the gestures about Bryant Gumbel, that Real Sports clip we just heard.
I guess he was talking right to my very soul.
I think you were taking it personally.
He's
there.
He's got a lawn and he wants me off the damn
Connor's
thing.
Connor's like, boom, boom,
you want to change everything?
Shots.
You want to change
everything
about baseball?
Everything about the game. Yeah, I think the mound should be 90 feet away from home plate. I think second base should actually be split into two. So it'll be first and then second one, second two, third. And then on approach, as you're Nomar Garciaparre in your batting gloves and kicking the dirt off and doing all the histrionics and everything, everyone is presented immediately a participation trophy as soon as they get to the game. Mm-hmm. I want all those things.
If you have two second bases, does third base become second?
Is it
fourth base then
absolutely
third?
Well,
and then
I think it's important that we not label things. You know, because it's the base's choice as to what it is.
Fair enough.
So I think it's important that we don't really. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it's third, second.
This is becoming like Calvin Ball from Calvin and Hobbes.
You've stumbled into the perimeter of wisdom, my friend. Yeah. You need to back off.
So I read something, I think it was the Washington Post, that broke down all of the problems that Bryant Gumbel addressed there and just baseball's issues with one area, one word, velocity. They talked about velocity being the main reason why attendance is down, ratings are down, interest is lower, all those things. And you guys shaking your head, but
Joe Sheehan's been writing that for years.
Yeah,
we've been tracking it. If you actually look at some of these.
It was the Washington Post. Joe Sheehan never heard of it.
Yeah, some of these graphs, a lot of the really smart baseball people have been talking about this because there's been alarm bells going off with average fastball velocity and what is happening with what bullpens are expected to do. You wouldn't know that watching the Cubs. However, because they just...
Right, they don't have Kyle velocity in the back end. There. Yeah.
Or the front end.
No, it's true.
They don't have it anywhere, really. But you look at so many of these teams, it's okay, here's 99. And the next guy, here's 99. And guy blows his elbow out, and while his elbow's getting better, and he comes back throwing 99, you bring up the next kid throwing 99.
There's a disconnect there, though, because velocity is a problem, and it changes the way the hitters respond to the game that's thrown at them, literally and figuratively, right? Like, there is a difference there. But if baseball, what Gumbel's talking about here is baseball's inability, his perceived inability of baseball to connect to younger fans. The way younger fans connect to sports is through small 7-second clips on whatever social media platform sure. they want to engage on. I'd tell you that a strikeout at 99 miles an hour, like watching a Jordan, like that's as enjoyable as a dinger. That's a same-sized highlight as anything else.
So
baseball's inability to market that strikeout.
So you're saying baseball doesn't have a pace of play problem as much as it has a marketing problem.
I think it has. I'm not saying it doesn't have a pace of play problem, but probably does. It probably needs more action within the game, and sure. how you reach that is a,
that's
a fair debate.
Though.
But yeah, it absolutely has a marketing problem.
And part of the issue is when you're at a game, unless you have spent a $300 face value for a ticket that gets you close enough to the action, you can't watch pitch framing.
It's true.
You can't appreciate what's going on. In the cheap seats, you can see a single, but it's hard to see an absolutely filthy breaking ball from the bleachers. You know, it's that part of the game has changed too. When we watch what a catcher is doing around the perimeter of the strike zone, you can appreciate that on your phone. You can't appreciate that. And look, you got a son the same age as my son. Connor's dead on about how things are consumed right now. And it's not a matter of getting that kid to the park and making him sit for 3.5 hours with dad while dad's spending, you know, thousands of dollars on food. That's not the way to reach that kid. You reach that kid through the phone.
And it's a matter of showing him the highlight yep. 3 or 4 times.
Like
when I was a kid, we watched SportsCenter. It wasn't the live one each and every time. It was you had the taped one. You had the one that was on right in the morning, depending on what time zone you were on. And then you watched it again. And then you watched it a third time.
By the
time,
it was always on.
By the time you memorized what Scott Van Pelt was saying on his way out the door, by the time you had literally the entire hour of the show memorized,
right.
then you went about your day. Then you went to work or then you went to class or whatever it was. That attention span has now shrunk. It has been replaced, relocated in different places for kids. And it's about showing them the highlight 3 different times from Pitching Ninja's Twitter handle, from MLB's, from the team's local Twitter handle, all that stuff.
That happens in the game. If there's some problem, you get to watch the play.
Not the same game anymore, anyway.
Well, actually, that's what ESPN has been trying to do with their broadcast.
I don't think velocity, it's time. Kids are trained to not have the attention span to be able to sit through. I'm saying nephews of mine, my brother's nephew, that they watch games based on, I like college basketball, it's 2 hours. I don't have 3 hours.
Yeah.
I can't watch sports all day. Like, it's weird because we watch sports pretty much morning, noon, night, and when we weren't playing them, we were watching them. But it's totally different now. It's people don't want to spend, you know, an afternoon watching a game. They don't want to spend the whole, it's too big a commitment of time.
We were talking about that with what's happening to the golf industry and what the USGA is trying to do with just telling people that playing 9 is okay. It isn't just time. Millennials don't want to do something that doesn't come immediately easily to them that they can just pick up and enjoy at a reasonable level. The fact that golf is hard. And all of a sudden, somebody plays their stuff. It's like, my God, this is really – it's hard to score
that's
up a golf ball.
You know, what we're talking about is not just a sports issue.
Right.
I mean,
it's
an issue with education. It's an issue with parenting. It's an issue with everything, every
income.
Aspect.
Income. I mean, that's Absolutely. Really what this is. I mean, if we're going to talk about the millennials as an audience, if we're going to talk about them, I mean, you have to talk about the fact that the income levels aren't the same as when you guys were getting your first jobs out of college. It doesn't measure up. I mean, on the whole, not specifically.
In what way?
They can't afford
they
it.
They don't have the money.
We didn't get money
play
coming
golf
out of
with
college.
Green fees. No, but
work
a lot
for free.
But a lot of the generation had that first job lined up when you left college, and that job came with health care in a lot of instances. That wasn't guaranteed.
And
that
internalizing
in
sports, participating in sports, going to events more expensive than ever.
Yeah, it is. And I would say this too, like Mully, I think you're right. There's like this flip through culture, right? You'll stay on something for a couple of minutes and you'll watch the college basketball game because you know that's 2 hours. And that's why, you know, David, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think the Gumbel's wrong really when he says they have a pace of play problem. And I think baseball wants to lean into more action during shorter times so that when you, whoever, you know, Joe baseball fan, you're flipping through at 15 years old, you see something.
Right.
For the 7 minutes you're on this game, and then you flip over to another one to go find a more action or whatever.
Right, like the most exciting play in last night's Cub game was Chris Bryant scoring from second.
Oh, there are a couple diving catches, too. There were...
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
Hayward
so.
Out and Wright was a good catch.
Yeah, that was a good catch, too. But I think that, you know, that was as exciting as any play you see. That should be, like, in the brain of every young Cub fan this morning, if, you know, going to school, going to work, whatever. Yeah, is it? I don't know. I don't know how, you know, I don't know if that's it, getting to your point.
You had to stay up late for that one. You know, I mean, it's, and I would imagine if you're, you know, if you're 9 or 10 or whatever, heading to school in the morning today, you're scrolling through your timeline. If you weren't able to stay up, if you had a diorama to make, do kids still make dioramas?
MLB Network.
We lost that.
MLB Network every morning does a really good job with their highlight package. And you go around the league. I just wish they did a better job online. Like the NBA just puts it right in your bloodstream, man.
People talk. Kids are more into the NBA than Major League Baseball. That is just a fact. They just, the highlights are so condensed and easy to get to. And Kawhi Leonard hitting a 3-pointer from the squat while the ball bounces around. Everybody's seen that play. And as you say, maybe they're not watching a guy's base running, or maybe it is the way we consume sports has changed for younger people. And I don't know that, I think the NBA has responded very well to that. And I don't see the same level of response from Major League Baseball.
I think you're right. I think there are other factors about the game that connect with younger kids in a different way. Like culture happens in the NBA in a way that it doesn't
in
baseball.
Right.
The start of any TNT show, do you know what you see
culture,
before the game starts? You get the pregame show, you get all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But what Russell Westbrook is wearing when he walks down the tunnel.
That's as big of a deal to some people as the game itself.
There are super cuts season by season of what that man wore into the arena that night.
Did you see what Steph was wearing the other night?
Does anyone know what Jose Quintana was wearing when he left the ballpark tonight after a sparkling game? No, nobody knows. It was probably cowboy boots and jeans. But no, nobody actually knows.
Yeah, the NBA is into, when you look at fashion culture, music culture, even wine culture now. The wine people, that there's been an intermingling.
Get those kids in there, early, the reds and the whites.
They've really been affected. Like if LeBron is Instagramming a certain bottle, wine people start talking about it. I mean, even if it's like a non-endorsement, LeBron's like, here's what I'm serving at a dinner party tonight. And people are like, ooh, what's that Nebbiolo from? That look what he's got there. And people like
how about Joe Madden? You buy it with wine Joe Madden's pushing?
I don't know that Madden quite has the same cachet as some of these NBA guys that are now traveling with their climate controlled.
Have you seen the wine list at Madden's post?
I haven't yet, but
no,
look.
We did have a couple of pizzas.
If Tony Mantuano is involved, it's going to be
a good one.
Just right. Yeah. Yep. I'm a white wine drinker. and actually, their pizzas that they dropped off here.
Tasty.
Phenomenal.
Were they?
Yeah.
Well, really. Thanks for saving us.
Thank you very much. Do they serve breakfast?
And I tried the Joe Madden. I was very skeptical about the Joe Madden. Which is
the Joe Madden?
The Joe Madden is the
questionable pen decisions, but overall, they're pretty
right? They take
pizza.
It out of the oven far too early.
really, you couldn't ask.
Yeah,
for
they've asked him to be more involved with the pizza this year, and he's because it's urgent. And it's a somewhat spicy Italian sausage and green olive.
See, he talked
about
that.
We had this conversation.
Yeah. That's a hub thing too. So, you know, when we're working weekday shows, producers know this. Yeah, Hub Arkish. He comes in, does his shows. He will order the same thin crust from Giordano's. It's jalapenos. It's olives, usually of both kinds, and some sausage. And it's the weirdest pizza you've ever seen
in your
life.
It's like a Veracruz-style pizza.
It's so weird. And everybody ends up having a slice. Kev, you've worked with, I mean, you take a slice because you tried whatever Hub's weird pizza is, and it's really good.
If I were
Hub, I'd be like, get away from my pizza. Oh, you know what I mean? Does he get
so
very
nice.
Territorial?
The
guy that like spits
not.
On it but when it arrives.
Yeah. 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 A lot of pizza, and everybody from update guys to producers get to have some. He's the best.
Green olive, very underrated.
As an ingredient.
Jalapeno, very underrated.
It's very underrated. Great ingredient. Green olive.
I totally, as you can spice up so many different things.
I mean,
to do a baked fish in green olive, and tomatillo. Really? Oh, yeah. Are you kidding?
The jalapeno could ruin your day, could ruin your stomach. It could be a little too much, but the green olive, it just
it always
a nice
ruins
compliment.
Me because when I slice one, I always forget not to touch my balls.
A green olive?
Walking around screaming for the rest of the day.
Remind everyone never to eat at your house. Mother of God. Oh, my God. There he goes again.
It's like, no, I'm running around.
What is that extra something you put in this, Dan?
Dan did the thing again.
Oh, my God.
You touch your eyes. You're just like, ow!
Well, that just that ended this particular segment.
What else you got today?
All righty, everybody. We'll be listening. Tell everyone what you have later. We're walking out.
How to Cook with Dan is at 11.
Special cooking show is going to be on Score Leftovers. Mike Florio is going to join us midday midway. We're going to talk to Brian Kenny at 11:30. And more Bears lists.
Love it. Have a good show.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.